Hunter podcast with Roland Jettis.
Right about here, baby. I want you to get yourself and your soul together. This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather, Foal.
Roland Jettis.
It's Jettis, actually.
Jettis.
Jettis.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you. But the rash cleared up eventually. What's happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter podcast with me, Colin Geddes. Today, I'm joined by my legal and biological wife, Maureen.
Hello.
As a fly flies past your head, because we are in a garage in a rural scenario. This is the first podcast back in ages, Maureen.
Yeah, quite well.
And I'm going to have the absolute brass neck to tell you to go to colingeddes.com. And get some tour tickets for the upcoming goat tour. Get us on another tour. Where am I going, Maureen? Enniskillen first.
Yeah.
And then such hot spots as Newton Abbey and things like that. But the tickets are all over there. And you can also get the brand new General Apparel work jumper, which is now for sale. Isn't that crazy? I haven't done a podcast in months and then I jump in with an ad.
What do you like?
Where else would I get it? We have no headphones either, so I don't know if that's making a noise or not, but you know, we're going to add it in and post. Yeah. No, we're back. I don't know if we're back. Are we back? Am I back?
You decide if you're back.
I decide if I'm back. You see, I did a big weepy post on Patreon. This fly is... did a big weepy post on Patreon where I was like, guys, I think it's time to... I don't know. Do you know what it was? It's like anything. It's me all over, Maureen.
Yeah.
If there is a schedule to it, I have an absolute pathological resistance to it. People are like, this should be out every week. No, I think it was just obviously the Bomb Squad started, and that's how you have to podcast nowadays, with a full team behind it.
Yeah,
taking care of everything. And I was trying to squeeze this one in, but what I will be doing from now on is just little fun podcasts,
which is kind of what you wanted to do.
It's what I wanted to do. You just go, just like, I feel like doing a podcast today, let me do one.
Yeah, I think you just didn't like having a parameter where you only had a scheduled amount of time to be able to do one of these podcasts. Like, it was like, okay, you have a Friday morning and that's it,
because
every other hour or day was consumed with something else. And to have like a scheduled, like, you have 1.5 hours here or 2 hours here, it became so frustrating for you, because you're just like, I can't do the podcast like this. You like doing this one, like, I have whatever day I fancy to sit for as long as I want and talk for as long as I want.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened. So if you accumulate that over time, and then obviously everything else, you know. So I think that's what it was. So I think now you've probably freed up a bit more time.
I'll just do, I don't know when these will be out. They'll be out every Tuesday at 7 a.m.
But
I'll just, when I feel like it, I'll just do a fun one. Because what we have with the Bomb Squad is me and Aaron, you know, being me and Aaron, flat out. And then sometimes, you know, because, you know, you might watch Bomb Squad and think, oh, these guys, they're never done talking about shite. I'm an intellectual. And I really struggle to say that.
Is this you?
No, but sometimes you want to sit down and have a chat. Like an adult.
Talk about shit.
Talk about shit. You know, wow. I'm a husband and a father. And I'm talking to Aaron McCann about pooping most of the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, why can't I talk about pooping with my wife?
Why can't you talk about pooping?
That was actually the main thing was a lot of people, you know, once I sort of stepped back a wee bit from it, people were like going back and listening to stuff. And they were like, man, I really miss those ones, Maureen.
Yeah. Oh. Funny enough, I had a few messages too.
Yeah. Oh, well, you get it all. You know, we go to Ivy Gardens and, you know, we chat to all these famous comedians, and then they follow you and they don't follow me on Instagram. So,
everyone follows me.
You know, whatever. I don't know what that means, but, you know, they push me out of the way.
Yeah.
I call them, good to see you. Move. Where's your wife?
Yeah, well, see, I care about people. You clearly don't.
I care about people. That's what they call me, the Care Bear. I've been saying this to Aaron for weeks. I'm a big bear. I'm a big teddy bear. Am I?
Yeah.
I'm a nut.
Aren't I? No, you are. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's many You're multifaceted, and I feel like this is why you need many different creative outlets.
Oh, I'm a nightmare, and really. I'm an actual
This one was
nightmare.
Probably just squeezed to the point where you couldn't do it how you'd like to, and now you've got a little bit more room to do that again, and you're very happy about it.
Yeah, I'll do the Jenner Bander podcast when I want to. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy, man.
It's a big day in the Geddes household anyway. We took our child to his first day at primary school.
I know. Do you think maybe that's coinciding with us? Like,
It feels like a...
Having time.
It feels like a fresh start. You know what I mean? You're like, what's important? It's a nice day outside. You know, we took him over there.
I know.
Lovely. I was saying to you earlier, not what I remember about primary schools.
It's a really lovely primary school he's going to.
I was like, look at all these play areas, park, clean as a whistle.
It's really nice.
Grass is cut.
Got a little garden, they grow stuff, and they have like butterfly garden and everything.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know, isn't it?
Our first day back at school, they'd be like, everyone get in a line and we'll sort of beach comb this pitch to pick up any glass that was left there over the summer.
Okay, guys, so there's been a murder, so we're going to use the school to look for any clues. Okay?
Really, some child labour to try and... If you find any items of clothing or anything, give it to the dog, the police dog that they've brought here.
Right, we're going to put gloves on because you cannot touch these with your fingers, okay?
Yeah, some scumbags in our school, like, I swear to God, it was... But it was like, yeah, it was in the middle of like a wee estate and it was so big. Like I was saying to you, you go in there to the one Eddie's going to and you're like, this is so cute and quaint and, oh, I've got, you know, loads of cool little bits. You know, I've got like a little AstroTurf area for them to play on just with like sand and water and stuff. And my primary school was huge and genuinely felt like you were walking through, you know, like a fucking prison. You know, like...
Yours
like an
like
old
like
hospital
a,
or
like
something.
Like a secondary school, you said? Yours
yeah,
like
felt
massive.
Like a secondary. Like that's if someone like told you to go take a note to Mrs. Whatever... Fuck, you'd be gone for 15 minutes. You'd be walking around the school.
Even my secondary school, I think... How many people do you say was in your primary school? Like hundreds, was it?
It was big, like...
I think you said one time it was whatever, and I was like, that's how many people were in my secondary school.
Yeah.
My primary school was like 100 people.
Yeah, it was really
this
big.
This school is also about 100 people. Already.
And just full of animals, you know what I mean? Just full of... Like some wee lad at break was just
Eddie's
like,
school's actually just animals, and yours like no, these are animals.
Yeah. Eddie's it's a petting zoo, and mine it's like. I mean, what are you talking? No. You're talking 35 years difference. But there'll be boys just standing, kicking a football at a large window, to try and smash it, and then when it smashed, they'd be like, "Oh God, I smashed that."
Yeah.
And nothing really happened, you know. They were just like, all sorts of weird stuff in my primary school.
Was there like what? People,
a guy would come in one day, and they were like, "Oh, this guy's." Dad died last night, so just be really nice to him. And I'm like, what the fuck's he doing in? You had the big scary biker parents.
What age do you think
it was? I was in primary school.
No, but I mean, like, 17? I just love, like, that you could have been, like, 8 years old. Be like, what the fuck's he doing here? Like, you're the only one worried about him.
Yeah, I was kind of. So
like
many
school's
weird.
Like, what? And you're like, what the?
So many. Here's some standout memories from primary school. I remember there was an Indian family. And, you know, everyone was not bullying, but everyone would be like, what the hell's in your lunchbox? Man, the guy had mint yogurt dips, naan, you know, nice wee sauces,
I mean,
and everything.
I was about to say this because I was like, I feel like you've told me this story so much because you were said you were so jealous of his lunch.
I'm
no
sitting there with
was.
A soggy tuna sandwich.
And
where
like,
it went,
what are you dipping in this?
I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And everyone's like, ugh. And I'm like, shut up. You don't even know what you're talking about. There was a guy.
Kids are uncultured, you know.
This is the school I went to. There was a guy came in and did a drug awareness chat to like P6s. And there was one absolute.
Stop it.
There was one absolute nerd.
Oh my God.
And I don't know if his parents knew there was like a drug awareness thing coming in, and they were like, "Here, ask him that," because you find out later in life, you know, you're like anyone that's turning up to schools to teach. You know, oh, there's a guy coming in to teach like tennis, which we actually had like mini tennis. And, you know, the guy, realistically, it's like a fucking 19-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, it, just Dev doesn't know what he's doing. So God knows who the drug awareness guy was, like some ex-prisoner.
It usually is an ex-prisoner.
And he was in there going, fucking drugs is bad and all the way doing drugs and this. And showing six-year-olds like, this is cannabis. And it just looked like a pile of dirt. And you're
what?
Like.
What are you showing them?
On a projector.
Oh, I was like, well, these didn't have anything with them to say.
This is what the cost of sativa. It's got you more of a high instead of low and more of a couch lock, you know. But he was doing all that. And then some wee nerd kid I think somebody told them this information. They were like, ask the guy, you know, what the laws around amphetamines are. And this, like, piece, what age are you in P6, like?
What age are you? I don't know. Are you, like, 9-ish?
Something. The guy's like, what about something with amphetamines? And the guy, because, again, probably not really qualified in it. Probably just saying.
What do you mean qualified? What, qualified in drugs?
Yeah, but
how do you be qualified?
I don't know, like from the police or something. You know what I mean? Like some sort of expert. But he was obviously, you know, probably one of those guys like send a wee note into school, like, I'm going around doing fucking drug awareness classes and all. Do you want in?
Part of probation.
Probably. And then this kid said something to him like about amphetamines, and the guy was like, what? And he was like, amphetamines. And the guy was like, I don't even know what that is. I'm more of a smack guy, you know? And then another memory that popped out recently, because we were talking about, you know.
Do your memories pop out of you?
They pop out of me. Oh. Slide out.
It's nice to know.
Pop out. But talking about having to do a little bit of maybe churchy business when you send a kid to school.
Yeah.
You know? And Eddie's at a very Irish Catholic Republican primary school, and you know, he's probably gonna have to do a bunch of masses and stuff. And I said, you know, we've got him the tricolour balaclava and everything. But
this is all lies, by the way.
But there was a big sort of biker guy, and his wife would come in to our primary school and take this little girl out of assembly, because he was like, I will not have any sort of religious doctrine forced upon my child. And the school must have said, well, we can't be responsible for her if she's not in assembly. And the da was, no, shows how much he had on his plate. Fuck all. But
he's in every day.
He would come in, take the wee girl out for about 20 minutes and then leave her back for class.
I mean, that wouldn't have been the norm, you know, back 30 years ago. Sure it wouldn't. But people, you know, people wouldn't have bothered doing that. They would have just been like, do whatever. I think, feel like people would be more like that now. But I feel like that's more disruptive than just letting them tear away and then decide yourself eventually. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of the Christian teachings were embedded in me, for example.
That's what I mean. You went to school and you're doing whatever, a few prayers and assembly, but it's hardly making you go, well, this is me now. I'm indoctrinated.
No, exactly. Like, it's a fucking primary school child. No one gives a flying fuck.
Here's the thing. Who even listens through an assembly?
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, no one's even really like paying attention.
You're standing there.
You go to mass, so who's paying attention? Not really. You know what I mean?
Nobody.
You're in your own.
It's whether molesting children. Okay, we'll cut that out. But you know what I mean? You know, it's probably a step too far.
You know what I mean? Like, it just. I just think with that kind of stuff and kids and all, yes, you can have all your strong beliefs and be like, don't let them, whatever. Yes, certain things to do that. But like, something like they're going to school and there's going to be some prayers and maybe you're not religious, like, just let them take part. Let them discover all of it. You know what I mean? Let them try all of it out and decide or not decide or whatever. You know, like, doing that is nearly too, you know, it's nearly too strict of an opinion as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a,
they're both.
You can be a staunch, like, non-religious person.
And you're like, taking your child out and, like, singling them out. How is that helpful? Because maybe one thing you're helping is like disrupting 9 other things probably socially for them, which is silly. Like,
kids,
you gotta go into primary school and secondary school and all, and even your first jobs, uni. It's all like a social experiment for your brain to like learn new social skills.
That's true.
The education part, you will learn through many other ways than just listening in assemblies and books and lectures.
So true.
You gotta let kids try it all. You don't learn it by someone telling you something. You learn by you taking in the information. So how you take in the information can be different. It doesn't matter.
That's true.
So,
and you gotta let them try it all. Like, sports, you know, we're sending Eddie.
We're sending him to all the religions.
Rugby tots, Gaelic football. As I said to you, rugby is a nightmare to try and get into your head when you're a small child. I didn't play any rugby.
He does go to rugby and then he's going to Gaelic right now. But unfortunately, they're all at the same time, which is not good. Or just back to back. But to be fair, when you're like 4 or 5 years old,
you got that energy, bro.
Well, it's that, but also like the difference in training is nothing. It's all just small little light balls where you're doing small little, you know, essentially
run through a hoop.
run through a hoop, in a hoop, throw it to the next person, you wouldn't be able to really tell the difference between these two other than the shape of the ball.
Yeah.
And that's it. So really it's more just, again, it's a social thing. It's for fun. It's just to get them running around with their friends. So
yeah. Although Eddie was mainly focused on his tiny pair of Adidas Predators, which are absolutely adorable. And
cutest thing in the world.
So cute. And he was more obsessed with going to the boot cleaner, which is like three yard brushes. And I was joking at the end. I was like, Eddie, you can take them back to the shop. They're that clean. And the dad beside me laughed. You know, that's all about the dad banter at these things.
Awesome. You gotta hone that up a wee bit now that we're going to school. There's a lot more like dad interaction.
I'm good at
people feel uncomfortable.
I'm more like if I actually know a person, I'm like, oh fuck, I gotta go chat this person. I'll waffle shite to people all day.
Yeah, I think I'm probably better if people I don't know. Yeah. Isn't funny?
But you gotta let them try all the sports. Preferably, we could push them into.
Did all the things.
Maybe like a Formula One. Oh, I did everything. Judo, gymnastics, football,
I think that's one
rugby.
Of the things I liked about you, because you were like in school, you were like walking around with your art folder, but also playing rugby. You're like, oh, what a hunk.
What a hunk, I know. And I had luscious, long black hair.
Look at him. I bet all his Chinese emotions hair. Are regulated. Not. But this guy must feel really grounded. And he's probably really, you know, one of those just grounded guys you feel safe with because his emotions will not get the better of him. Or are they?
Listen, it's...
I'm only joking. You are.
You gotta let them fire up sometimes, clean the pipes out.
I did like that about you because you're like into a lot of things.
I'd be going in to do my chalk drawings covered in muck.
I never really was into guys who were like, I play football and I watch football and I do football and have no clue about what you're talking about, anything outside of just this one thing that I've done since I've been 4 years old. I think maybe because, to be honest, most people I know were into lots of different things. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, they're doing that and they also sing, you know? Oh, they do a thing, but they also do this. You know, a lot of people I know are like that, which is quite fun. Yeah. I don't do any of those things. I'm the most boring one. But
Gaelic football and then they're doing a play at night.
Yeah.
Things like that. That's the thing about sports. They're for doing.
Guys.
Yeah, sports are for doing, man. See if you're getting emotional about sports and you're not playing it also, fuck off.
That's a good point.
Just watching football? Gay.
Well, you're just sad looking at it.
You're like talking about regulating your emotions.
I know.
Oh, not Chelsea. Not my Chelsea. Fuck that.
Name of some fucking football club and girlfriend.
Not my Chelsea. Fuck that, Chelsea. Chelsea lost.
You bitch.
I come home, I can't even talk to you. If you see your name as my beloved Chelsea, I said it again. Oh, fuck. I don't know who supports Chelsea around here, like, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but we'll try them with all the sports. Try and get them into Formula One or golf, something that pays out big cash.
This is what it's about now. This is our time to shine.
Yeah, you gotta monetize. You gotta make that money back.
Yeah, we've just got to. It's the only way forward, I think.
He takes P1 at Monaco. And I'll be like, that's for that
P1 school.
That's
P1.
For that $2,000 fucking buggy we had to buy and never used. As soon as you could walk, you never used it again. But we'll try them with all the sports. Try them with all the religions. He's going to Quran class next Wednesday.
Karate and Quran Wednesdays.
Karate and Quran. Rugby tots.
Chelsea Thursdays.
Oh, God. Yeah, I wonder is like early Christianity and early sort of Islam, like taking them to rugby tots and football. You're like, they're just fucking.
It's all same.
They're all just doing this and I don't know what the fuck they're doing anyway.
It's a book.
Trying to be good or something. Jesus Christ. But it is.
We'll not leave you to those teachings, possibly.
And many of the other parents that dropped their kids off this morning came and recorded a small podcast.
Zero, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'd say zero also.
Most of the dads are driving past in vans in their work gear. You're there being like, what trainers will I wear at the school?
What about me waiting on McCarney the other day, who drives a white van, like a pervert, and he drives a Berlingo and another...
I can't imagine him driving a car, I'll be honest.
And another Berlingo pulled up at the gate, and I opened the gate on my phone and went, just fucking drive in, you idiot! Just a guy delivering a package.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you said that.
But I hope the fuck he was like foreign.
Oh my God.
Or he had AirPods in or something, because he didn't even, I shouted like, and he didn't even look. So I think he couldn't hear me. Thank fuck.
Unless you're
just driving, you agent. Oh, sorry. Just leave it in the box. Thank you.
Oh my God. Was he out of his van?
Oh yeah.
Oh God. I was thinking if he's in the van, he wouldn't be able to
hear.
He
parked,
like, he'd
driven in and stopped at the gates.
Well, that's good. They'd probably think we're absolutely the most crazy people.
Yeah, I don't think he heard me. Thank God. Thank God. One thing hasn't changed between the Bomb Squad and this podcast.
Spoons. squeaky chairs.
Chairs are squeaking. Maybe that's just too much weight.
I think
weight
that's
on
a
it.
Weight thing. Because Aaron's chairs, very squeaky in Mom's Squad. Mine's not too bad.
Speaking of weight, we went on holiday. Sorry, I'm a wee bit congested. Chelsea! We went on holiday. And I was just off the back of the Fringe. Drove home at 3 in the morning. The next day, packed my suitcase. We left again at about 3 or 4. And then we had all the Fringe festivities and then went on holiday, all inclusive, ate and we drank. You know, it's even worse when you're drinking drinks that you think is a cocktail, but there's probably zero alcohol in it. So you're just really having a really sugary juice.
Yeah.
Ate like a fucking, like a fucking Roman orgy. And then came home, weighed myself, and I was ashamed of myself. After that holiday, I've done nothing but indulgence here, and I'd had enough, and I was doing it in my stand up, but it was like nothing will crash you back down to earth like having to rub sun cream on your nude body.
Yeah,
and I was
you
like,
feel it?
I was like, the whole body is tits. I've tits in every direction here.
It took us most of the morning to sun creaming you, didn't it?
Oh yeah, you'd be throwing cans in the bin like,
I was like,
there were cans of beer, and then just done. Fuck, getting another one. And I came back and I weighed myself, 290. Normally I sit in there about 286. I always say to you, like, I am overweight, but it always sits at about 285, 286.
Yeah, you don't fluctuate.
No fluxion, no fluxion, no fluxion about. And when I came home, I was like, right, that's it. We're cutting the fucking sugar out. We're going high protein. Not full, like, keto sort of carnivore, but let's cut away back on the pizzas and the, you know, the breads and the fats and the whatever. And I gave it 1 week of clean eating. So I was 291. 291 when I came back. And a week later, I was 282. 9 pounds of tiramisu and strawberry daiquiris in my guts.
Imagine.
Disgusting behavior.
Will you fuck up, too?
Isn't that rough, is it? But that's the joys of being, you know, an absolute fat unit is... £9 to me is someone else's, like, good week at Slimming World.
I mean, like, if I lost 9 pounds, I'd be like my ideal weight. Do you answer that? Yeah. I'd say.
When are you going to call and get us that?
What
boiled eggs for breakfast. Nothing. I've been eating a lot of the same thing, I think. If we go to the cafe, I get just a wrap with scrambled egg and chicken.
Yeah.
High protein. Yes, there's a wrap. What can you do?
No, you can still eat a lot, you know. You're still...
Oh, yeah. I could eat 200...
I mean, 2,500 calories. You're 6'4 and you're very wide. Like, you'll always be a
big guy. I'm
6'4.
I'm 6'4.
6'4, the purpose of this podcast. But, yeah, you're just eating normally, I think. I think because you're concentrating on it.
Yeah, that's it.
I think always your thing is, as if the listeners of this don't know, if you're not immediately concentrating on it, it basically doesn't exist in your life, and you can't even understand why that would be something until it becomes a problem, and you're like, oh right, okay, never thought about that. And then you concentrate on it and you're like, oh yeah, and then you're like perfect at whatever that thing is, or give it your all, you know.
Yeah. Isn't that
and
crazy?
I think that's all that's happening is
where focus goes, energy flows.
Yeah, this is true. And I think you're just going, oh, I think I would like to do this now, and then just spending 1 week where it's at the front of your mind instead of just not in your mind at all. Mm-hmm. You went, oh, that actually worked.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Like, that's, I think that's all anything has ever been, isn't it?
I mean, it is. Isn't that crazy? I mean, obviously, I want to do this for as many weeks as possible, but there will come a week where I go, right, I've cut away all the shite and I'm eating high protein. And then once that starts to slow down, you know, when I start going like week to week and I've maybe lost a pound, that's when you start to go, right, I'll write down how many actual calories this is. And then I'll bring it down a wee bit below that. But I don't even.
But I think you just. Concentrating on it means you've just ate better. Like, I think it's me more, it's like the quality of what you're eating.
That's true.
Because you've always ate good food, but you've also probably just ate whatever the hell you want. But your lifestyle also meant that eat out all the time because you can, because it's easy.
Yeah.
Because you're out.
Social.
And if you can afford it and you're always out where there's nice Asian food, what are you and I going to choose? Always going to have nice Asian food.
A gyoza orgy. So. And I'll throw it all down the drain here, going to New York to But I don't think
maybe this is a therapy session. Maybe you're always trying to relive your primary school days of just being jealous of someone else's Asian food.
That's it.
You're constantly trying to fill up your little lunchbox.
I don't even like, I'm not a big Indian guy anyway. Believe it or not. I'm not big. What about the Indian? I had two brilliant Indian exchanges at the Fringe. First one was the guy in...
You always do.
In Maggie's chambers at the Three Sisters. And we were standing there and I wasn't even going to drink, but then I was doing like Best of Northern Irish with William Thompson. Shout out William Thompson. Cheers for having me on and congratulations on your first Fringe run. Great success. William Thompson came back from the Fringe there, did Lavery's 15 minutes. Ripper.
Was he? I actually can't wait to come back and see Shreds. Everyone.
On fire. He's got a perm or something. I don't know. He's got a greasy like wrestler's haircut now. But I go up to this guy in the bar and there's a couple of pints that you'll see in loads of bars in Edinburgh. Like there's one, I forget the name of it now, but it's like a peach beer. You'd love it.
Oh.
Very nice. They had Tennent's, obviously. They had something else. And then they had Guinness. And I was like, oh, I might just get a beer or whatever. And then whoever was there was like, we'll get a couple of Guinnesses, you know, for the boys and all. You know? And the guy working the bar is Indian. He went to pour it and he goes, he's like, oh, hold on. Are you guys Irish? And I went, yeah. And he goes, you're going to hate this.
Really? He said that?
He's like, you'll think this is dog shit.
Oh, no.
Because he's probably just had, like, you know, load of Irish people ordering them and be like, that's fucking stinking, you know? Obviously, you're in a dingy, you know, hole in Edinburgh somewhere,
that's
of course.
That's such a funny thing to say, though.
He goes, you're going to hate this. And I was like, I'll give it a go anyway. And the good thing about me is I don't drink Guinness enough to fucking know what's good and what's not good. I just drank it and I was like, well, it's cold and tastes like Guinness. So
that's what it is.
What can you do? And then another chap came to the live pod and it looked like this guy on his own and then a couple and then four lads or something in the front row. And I was like, oh, what's your name, man? Are you here by yourself? And he goes, yes, I'm here by myself. And I was like, oh, where are you from? And he goes, I'm from New Delhi. And I went, oh, sweet. And I was like, do you live here? And he goes, yeah, I work here. And I was like, what are you doing? He goes, well, look at my face. Of course, I do, you know, like IT support or something.
Somebody
and
said
I went,
that.
I would just like to stop and point out that he did a racism to himself. Okay. And that was not me.
Oh, that's so funny.
And then, of course, we were just, that's anyone funny. That's not a fucking 21 to 35 year old male listening to our podcast, I'm like, how the fuck do you even know about us? And the guy, I think it was like the Bert Kreischer clip or something.
Stop.
And then he started listening and then he was at the live podcast by himself. I was like, fucking unreal.
That's
and then a girl, Kelly, mad. There, who had come to the show, or she'd met us after the stand-up show, and then we got her into the live podcast because she was over from Canada. And she was like, she follows you and everything. Well, of course she does. Who doesn't? But
we've established this.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I follow your wife and everything. And I'm coming to Lavery's next week. And then sure enough, she was at Lavery's.
Oh my God.
So very cool.
Very cool.
Very cool. Very swag, you know?
What a cool way to like people to connect to each other, you know?
I know.
That's really cool.
Very cool. We're cool guys.
It was very fun. Like, although, you know, on my end, I'm just being like, bye, see you later in a week.
Yeah.
You know, you having fun. It was actually the first friend I haven't been to in years.
Yeah, at
or
all.
Or obviously the couple of years where I couldn't have went, like, but it was gone, I don't think.
I'll tell you what's happening. I'm finally hitting the age, not the, no, we're finally hitting the time where, you know, obviously, you know, it's like lockdown and then you were sick and blah, blah. And we're out of the back of that. And I was never thinking about the Fringe. Hadn't thought about the Fringe forever. But I was in that really nice apartment there and it was right on the edge of the meadows. And I was like, this is the time where you would hire this, spend a fortune probably, bring your family, be right on the edge of the meadows. You could play with Eddie in the fucking park all day, watch all these smelly hippies, you know, juggling and whatever. And then, you know, you could, if your show was at like 10 o'clock, you could just have your day and then go, right, we're getting in the house, get some food, here's bedtime. And then I just nip out for an hour and come back. And I was like, I could do it like that. And I would definitely want to do it in like Monkey Barrel probably. But it's hitting the time where I'm like, I would do the full run then.
Lots of people do bring their kids.
Yeah.
And
they do.
you know, stereotypically, when you don't have children, you look at that being like, that sounds awful, or you're like, oh, you just don't get to have fun now, like, because your kids are there, or, you know, and then obviously you become this stage of your life yourself, and you go, oh, but it just is kind of the best of both worlds. That's what it is. And also, you forget to think about it from the child's point of view, which is like, how cool would it be that, like, every summer you go to live in Edinburgh?
Yeah.
And it's like you're in a festival every day where there's like performers and you, you know, eat ice cream and there's music and dancing and people in costumes and, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, talk about what a cool thing to do for your summer.
Yeah, be so cool.
Isn't that unbelievable? And then,
you know, any, you know, when you're like a parent, you always go like, oh, is that going to be hectic? But then it'd be it's hectic.
Oh, it's hectic. It's hectic
you being at home. It's hectic me being by myself. It is. That sounds like boo-hoo. But it, like, when you're used to like your day being full, you like get up and you're like, oh, just, especially on that trip where we were recording, I'm like, well, I just got to wait till everyone else gets up before we can record here. You know, I can't go too far. I can't like go out around town because they'll be like, oh, we're, you know.
Yeah, it is weird because then, yeah, because like if I'm at home and then it's just me and Eddie, which is also hard because it's not hard, but it's only because when you're the one responsible person.
Yeah.
It's, you're basically in responsible mode for 24 hours. So like, that's just hard because you don't have another person being like, you know, I'll bring him up to bed now and you can just go eat your dinner or something. Yeah. You know, like, you can't just rush and do whatever you need to do. Like,
you're all in.
So like, we kind of, that is probably the hardest part, is that like, you go do a thing and then I have to also do the thing. And it's just harder doing those separately than it would have been to just do it at the same time.
I know.
But yeah, it would also be probably not springing him there, but I think when he gets older, it'd be class, like.
I think you like it, especially like if I'm thinking about that specific apartment. People could come over,
yeah,
and like be there for a week or even a few days. You could come over twice, for fuck's sake, you know.
Yeah.
Be Edinburgh trip, be nice.
Are you going to do full run next year?
I don't know. It might. It seems like
it's the first time you've considered it.
It seems like a great way to get a show together.
Oh yeah, you know. Well, obviously.
So instead of me trying to write a show for the tour that's kicking off here, which is, it's in a pretty good place actually, you know, you would just do that gig every day,
yeah,
and then you could do a tour. Well, and it's already done.
For as well, you never thought about this, it's probably the first year or next year would be that you could do a full year, because we actually have more people working with us at Laveries now.
Yeah,
we never had that before. We were solely responsible for everything at Laveries as well.
Yeah,
now we have Begley, who's like there at the shows. And like, Dave can do video, we've got sound guy. Like, we have lots of people who can do those things now, which is great.
I'm going to write Lav's poster down here. That's a job I need to do.
Because we've never had that before. We've never been able to have someone else.
Yeah.
You know.
Turns out that's the way to run anything.
Oh, you just
delegate.
You just need a group. You actually need a group of people, because I think that was us for quite a while, wasn't it? You do sort of run things out a wee bit, because we tried to do absolutely everything ourselves, and we did for a long time.
It's actually, and because we could as well.
It's because we could, but then you end up being like, you can, but you actually sacrifice probably way too much.
You can be overskilled, guys. You can be overskilled in this world.
We just tried to do too much.
Trying to
do it all.
How did you enjoy your holiday, Maureen?
I loved my holiday. It was great. We did have a big storm in Mallorca.
I know, it's so annoying.
Like a day and a half, as I said to you, like, I feel like could have had another day or so there, because I feel like we missed a full day.
Mm-hmm.
It was torrential rain.
Peshing down.
Now, I'm glad the timing of it meant that we got there for a day and it was nice, and then it rained and then it got better again.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, I think people were trying to get in.
Yeah.
Like Palma you fly into. Apparently the whole airport flooded. Nuts. Like, it's a really weird sort of airport anyway, but like, that would have been shit. It would have been shit flying the storm. A lot of people couldn't get back home again. Like, so like, all right, you know, it wasn't the worst, but like,
I did laugh.
It was so nice to be away.
I did laugh when we landed, and there's obviously like passport control or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was fucking 10,000 people at it.
God, it was nuts.
I was just like, is this like,
thank God for that one guy. That's basically.
I was like, is this every time you go to Mallorca, you have to fucking ply through this?
I've talked to you, it wasn't that bad, but it seems to be just that week that we went from all this stuff.
Oh, it was insane. And It seemed, by the way, you're just walking through a wall of farts every 10 meters, aren't you?
Oh my God. Yeah, you're zigzag farts.
You're standing in the zigzag fart queue.
Like, who did this? That was you.
And people are just dropping farts, and then you walk 5 meters and just be like, oh, I'm just eating someone else's ass particles right now. And then there was all these like young staff at the passport control, and they're all just standing around like this young guy with like curly hair and a fucking covering tattoos and all. And then the wee ugly, you know, like Danny DeVito of the airport came out, and he was like, "What about what?" Like shouting away in Spanish. And I had to laugh because I've done a bit of Spanish myself. Mm-hmm. And claro means like, of course, or obviously, or something.
Yeah.
Someone probably knows how to speak Spanish. He's like, "Yo, what is it called?" I think it's of course, but the, he said something to the guy like, "Cuando," and the guy said, like a wee teenager guy goes, blah, 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 said something back to him, and he went, "A claro!" Like, it's like so fucking, so sarcastic. "Claro!" And then they fucking opened it up. Because there's like, they were jamming everyone through this one passport control. And then he opened the gate, and there's like fucking 10 more of them. Do you remember like stations for people to be in?
No,
like,
it's something to do with like, all the places now should have the like scanner ones, where you should just like scan your passport, you walk through. But families, obviously, if you're under 16, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But the majority of people coming in all of these flights are families with kids under 16. So there's just like 1,000 people in a queue, and then people doodling up like beep, beep, beep with all like 20 different ones. And we had, I think there was literally 2 people at the passport control, which is insane fucking for the amount of people. It took a full hour and a half, and we didn't even get to the top until your guy went nuts. And then we were about to miss our transfers and everything.
Yeah.
They only last 45 minutes, and I was like, "We're still here." It was a full hour and a half. So we would have been there probably 2.5 hours, I'd say, to get through passport control. Only he just, luckily we were at a corner, and it's all families, and he was like, "Family?" And we're like, "Yeah." And he just took us out and let us go through to the next bit. But I mean, it was all family. So we just luckily were standing where he was standing. So we were very lucky.
I like that terminology now, because every time we sat down for dinner at this all-inclusive place, they'd be like, "Hello, family."
Hello, family.
I might start saying that.
Yeah, it was just nice.
Hello, family. Look how well lit your face is in this video versus mine.
I can't even great.
Hello, family. Hello, daddy. How many dessert you going to have today? Big fat bastard.
You need wheelchair?
You need high chair for child and wheelchair for daddy?
Look at you, Niners.
Look at me. I might be 10 pounds down. Who knows?
This? Barely anything left of you. Come on.
And surprise, surprise, you know, you stop eating shite for a week.
What?
You feel much better. Much better.
Life advice with Colin.
Very obvious. You know, that's me. Tell me it 1,000 times and then I'll come to the conclusion myself on the...
7 to 8 years later.
Yeah. And then I'll be like, "I fucking told you. Sugar is the devil." But it's funny because, you know, if you're watching what you're eating... And then it comes around to dinner. Like this morning, you're like, "Do you want cornflakes?" Like quickly before we do a podcast. And I was like, "What the fuck is cornflakes going to do for me?" None.
But that's good, because normally you would have had 2 bowls while you're thinking about
it. Give me 4 eggs.
Yeah.
And I just burped 4 eggs up there. Disgusting. What about when we landed after the holiday and the plane is going through powdery, soft air the whole time? Hot air. And then it came over Ireland and it just fucking, you can hear the plane like grinding through the clouds.
It reminds me of that like Simpsons one where they look out the window and then there's like a gremlin like that, you know, like the cartoon version of it.
Yeah.
Of that. Anyway, it just reminds me of that. Like I keep thinking I'm going to look out the wing and there's just going to be some sort of cartoon gremlin.
Oh God.
It was like black, 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 black as you're going through.
And then we landed.
It was weird, isn't it?
The girl was like, "I don't know if you've looked outside, but... welcome home." And you look out the window, pishing down.
Sure, it hasn't stopped.
Yeah, sure, it hasn't stopped. I was talking to your man next door, the farmer. He's like, "That's fucking cat. That's weather. That's fucking cat, mate."
Hard to be.
It must be nuts. Like, if you're a farmer, just waiting, just watching the weather all day. Bit of sunlight. Go, go, go. Get that grass cut. We got to move this grass around for the remainder of the year.
Not the same stress as you're under, I don't think.
Oh, no.
You haven't even cut our fucking lawn. Never mind.
That's what I said to him. I was like...
you don't relate to the farmer.
I was like, sure, I can't even get the garden cut. Never mind you, boys. It feels similar level of stress. Yeah, but he's not trying to write shows and go and do gigs with people in Bangor and all.
That you know of. No, this is true.
Did that gig in Bangor. Great gig. Freezing.
That's a shame, because it should have been like a summery outside gig, wasn't it?
Freezing cold.
It's not.
I could see the staff in the corner of my eye just closing the side of the tent.
Oh, freezing.
People, one girl, this couple at the front were laughing. And then the girl went, and did that like shiver yawn thing, you know?
That's the gambles outside stuff. I think they're usually fairly lucky with those ones, aren't they?
Yeah, they're what nice, about me just nearly forgetting about it too?
You didn't. You said this, but you didn't forget about it because you knew it was on. You were talking about it.
Yes, but it was whenever I got sent like a sales report thing and it was the first gig on it. And I went, oh, fuck, I forgot about that. But that was about 4 days before it.
As in like it's your solo show rather than it being like a...
I thought, I don't know.
Someone else's show or something.
Yeah, it was like the last show at the Open House Festival.
Yeah.
Big closer, you know what I mean? Roll out the big dogs.
That's your name.
Big closer. The big closer.
The worst big close.
Trying to subtly wipe snot away from my nose because it was freezing. Shouldn't have went on stage in a coat. I was literally doing jokes. I'd be like,
this is the first day it has felt very cold, actually.
It's a bit chilly in here.
It's very back to schooly, isn't it?
Well, at least it's bright and fresh, but this office cold. Will go from you can't breathe in it to... you need 7 blow heaters on it.
Well, it's the same as the Belfast office. There's no actual radiators.
No.
I might get some of those. Or windows, really. As in, well, there's windows, but it's all doors. It's not openable. So it's either freezing or roasting. What do they do? Electric blankets?
No, I was in the Glee Club in Glasgow, and they have wall-mounted, what's the term? Like infrared heaters.
Yeah, the wee panel thing.
Yeah, so it looks like a whiteboard.
Yeah, you need that rather than the blowy beating heat off it. They're no good. Blow heaters do nothing.
They're not.
The infrared panel, yeah.
The blow heaters give you the cold. You sit on them long enough, you're like... Yeah.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It haunts me of the time when I used to live in the Holy Lands, where obviously I bought the cheapest one, so you know the wee ones, like a wee circle?
Mm-hmm.
And it's blowing nothing, like it's just basically scorching hot air. But all it's doing is blowing all the cold air then, you know, keep circulating it. So you're only warm if you're in front of it, but you're actually still freezing, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're just burning different sections of your leg. And it just reminds me of living there, and it was just so, so cold. And then I think back, I'm like, why are we so cold? Why did we not have any form of heat? Like,
no one wants to pay for it.
Getting in the bed, and it's literally damp with cold. Like freezing, because you're also beside a window. And it's just the cold, everything... Heaters give me like the heebie-jeebies now.
There's nothing to do other than smoke in your bed when you're in the Holy Land.
Oh yeah, everyone smokes. I think that's the only reason people were warm, because it gives the illusion of being warm.
Yeah, looks like smokers.
People now with all their social media and all their I was going to say catch up TV, but that's the most embarrassing thing ever.
Nothing I like after a long day than sticking on the catch up TV. I don't know how it works.
I meant like on demand.
It's some sort of wizardry that it's already happened.
We literally didn't have anything. Your TV didn't even work, really.
Yeah, someone had one Fight Club DVD that you just watched.
It started to be people had like Virgin TV or something where there's maybe something on it if you got the internet. Yeah. But we didn't have that.
No, just a friend's box set.
I remember there was one person at Facebook on their phone because they had a BlackBerry, and none of us. We had to borrow her phone to check our Facebook. She's
in a queue behind her being like, I wonder what's happened.
How embarrassing.
Wonder has anyone put up photos from their night out.
It's not really embarrassing because we just watched box sets.
Do you know
and smoked and talked to each other, imagine. Ugh,
gross, net dominoes.
Sometimes.
Do you know what's gross?
That's when I lived with Sean, Michael and Megan.
I forgot what I was going to say. I used to, I'd have went out for a night out and... In my pockets, I would have had, the box of Amber Leaf or something that had all the rollies and the filters and all in it. My keys and a lighter and an actual Panasonic digital camera.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, there were some cool photos taken of the boys on night out. But I was snapping away, take cool black and white photos and whatnot. Imagine jamming that in your pocket when you're heading out now.
Taking a camera,
taking a
phone, but
yeah, this is a full camera with a flash on and everything. I must look like a right pervert, but there's got to be one weirdo running about with a camera for you to have any memories at all.
Yeah, everyone's always appreciative of the camera after the fact.
I've never regretted making a vlog, taking a camera somewhere.
No,
making something because you look back and you go, do you remember?
I think that's why my iPhone right now is full capacity, which is crazy, with the amount of storage I have on it. But
I don't think it's crazy for you.
I take a lot.
You do. Every 10 feet on holiday. Stop getting our four-year-old who does not like standing still. Stand there, take a photo.
I think I'm just so aware of the you know, how quickly time goes when you have a child. It's just like, I feel like I don't want to miss anything. Do you know? I feel like each one is like this like precious memory he's going to want to look back on. And knowing rightly, he'll be probably the kind of, you know, teenager or adult who'll be like, why did you keep any of these? These were all so boring. And I'm like, oh my God, look at you. Yeah. This is the first time you sat on a chair.
There's your bare arse in a bath.
Look. Here's every breakfast you've ever had. I don't know, I can't. It's just too amazing. You know what I mean? I really mean that. Oh, now, the rest, nice. It also helps when it's absolute meltdown central to look back on those photos and be like, remember
why it's worth
he
it.
Feels.
You don't want to.
Look at him sleeping peacefully and he's so precious, but like plenty of nuts times too. But this is why you need the memories so that people look back. You only ever remember the good stuff, or if you look at photos, you only ever take photos of the good stuff. So you look back and as you get older, your mind will just erase all of the absolute carnage and chaos that it is having a child. And you'll look back at the photos and they're all cute and you're like, wow, let's have 10, you know?
I wonder, you know, the way I've got like a box of horrible memories in a photo form upstairs.
That's not how people talk about photos, but yes.
You know, that I haven't even opened, but it's there. Will it be someday where someone will just be like, oh, you know, granny died and we were hugging through her drawers there. And we found her phone. You know, is that how they're going to do it now?
Find her phone.
We're all going to sit round and go through granny's phone. All the nudes and all screenshots of Amazon. That's how they'll see all your memories.
This is the problem with phones. If it is all like digital or if it's on people's computers and stuff, it's mixed in with all your other stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Photos are just your photos. Do you know what I mean? Or your diaries. Okay. But maybe you put those very specific diaries and you're happy enough to keep those diaries or whatever, your memories or your whatever. Phones and laptops are just everything. Like you can't be having your precious memories against your unprecious whatever you're doing, you know what I mean?
Dildo in your ass, you freaks.
Well, you know, that or other things possibly.
Well, you know, they'll be like, you know, they'll be going through my phone and be like, you know, Granddad wasn't really a pervert. He just in a WhatsApp group with a load of comedians.
That's what I mean. Like,
they did send in some snuff videos.
But how would you know? Like, how would you know which ones are just them? Or, I mean, like, if you looked even if, you know, like you open your browsing thing, it's like a million tabs. Yeah. You're like, some of the random things that have just been tabbed, like these are not a reflection of you. They're just random things you've had to look up or you've clicked on something by accident, but it'll just open it and it's gone. You know, who knows where that is now?
I did it yesterday.
I closed some of them. I'm like, what the frig is this? Like,
see, like doing the podcast and everything and having things that you
can't get to know myself sometimes, but looking at my own things. But like, when did I look up fucking, I don't know, I don't even have a good example. Like,
I was laughing yesterday. So, so there's like, obviously, like I've opened like a ticket link to myself.
Yeah.
Norm Macdonald vintage t-shirt. Compare cheap flights. There was one of them I was laughing at. Because it's, you're sitting doing a podcast and you're going like, there's a Kevin Hart article, Visual Antics. There's some of these were, yeah, I've just been sitting there with Aaron and going
looking
like,
up a thing.
I'm going like, oh, I wonder, is that a thing? And then you look it up and it's like,
well, that's my brain as well. Like, or like looking up a random word you've seen, you're like, oh, I don't know what that means. I'll look it up.
I'd be so embarrassing, wouldn't it?
What?
You know, like, oh, let's see what.
It's meaning me looking up things I don't know what they are.
Let's see what Granda looked up. And it's like, how to spell necessary.
Yeah. He did this once.
A lot of booking.coms, DPD, a lot of watch things. And I don't even really use like Safari. I just use the Google thing. There, I've looked up a mouse. Audi A3 hatchback. That's like a link someone sent me. Just trash, like.
Oh yeah.
Just absolute trash. Charity boxing. We'll not talk about that. Yeah, there's certain things have happened in the last while since I recorded. Charity boxing happened where I was absolutely set up.
Now you're up for vengeance.
I'm out for fuck all. For good times and laughs on tour, ColinGettis.com.
Some of the good times, I guess.
What about the good times? The thing that pissed me off about the boxing the most, other than getting my head smashed in, it was just the time that went into it. Everyone took it very seriously and it was like all consuming the whole time.
Yeah.
And for what? 36 grand for charity? I'd give you that. I would. And then it was like immediately brushed past, you know. No highlight reels, no nothing. It was just like, right, that was it, done. What's next? You're gigging on Friday?
Yeah.
With a sore head?
Good job you spent the last 6 months, every day of your life.
Every day, training.
Dedicating to this for you not to...
Didn't lose a pound doing that either. Didn't lose a pound of weight training.
How's it even possible?
And then I lay off the buns for a week and I've lost 9 pounds. It's crazy.
It's almost as if all those facts that people have come up with are actual real things. Who would have thought?
I thought they were all just paid by Big Protein to lie to us.
Who's he?
That should have been my fight then. Welcome to the ring, Big Protein. Yes. Have we to go now? I mean, in the words of Bill Burr, we're just checking in on you, you know? We just thought we'd squeeze in a wee podcast here, have a nice, lovely chat for the people who want to. I know there'll be people will be all over this. Me and you just having a wee chat. It might actually be a good way
the
for us.
The funny thing is, we have chats all the time. And now we're just...
And by the way, fuck sponsors, fuck ever. I don't... Fuck that. Fuck all that. Let me just do a podcast. I'm not doing a read for something I don't give a flying fuck about.
You're craving creativity, aren't you, Colin?
Craving creativity.
You
know,
stop
even
going on about it. I need to make things, want to do things, so let's, you're just doing
we
it.
We even released a little ad for the jumpers there. Mm-hmm. Decided to be a wee bit outside the box, you know.
People like the filming of it.
People like,
who was
they?
That by?
Yeah, that was you. I mean, I might actually do a blooper reel of that.
No, don't, please don't.
Because.
Please don't.
We needed one shot. I was like, boy, I'm going to stand in the middle of this field. You
it's
just
absolute chaos.
Press this button. The camera will zoom at a constant pace into me. And that's all I need. I'm going to stand there completely still.
No, you didn't say that. You said, I'm going to stand here. We're going to zoom right in tight to me. Then you zoom fully back. Then you have to press tight on the screen so that it slowly goes into tight.
And what's, and like, what's confusing about that?
That you have to zoom in, zoom out, zoom back in again. So actually it was three zooms.
Well,
for one zoom.
It would have taken all day for me to just stand in the field.
I don't need an explanation.
And for you to try
I'm
and
saying
find
that
me.
That is not actually that clear of a direction. It's not as easy as just being like, oh, we did was zoom out. We didn't.
Well, the explanation there would be instead of you trying to, because it really does zoom, so you would lose
no
me.
No one needs an explanation.
I
no,
was like, I know, start on me, zoom out, and then go in.
You didn't say it as clear as that. Is what
else? I think
and
I
also had Eddie
yeah,
throwing piles of muck at me.
Yeah, because
he's on the muck pile beside us.
We weren't paying right attention, and he was just like,
and he kept walking into shop, being like, "Can you see me? Can you see me?" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Eddie, can you stand aside for literally 2 minutes? Like, oh, I need 90 seconds for you to just stand slightly to the left of us. There is how much space? I don't know how much the space is around us. A lot of space around us. You could stand anywhere in this field, Eddie. Please stand to the left of me."
I'm going to do a blooper.
He kept standing in front of me. And then he started throwing muck at me. And he's like, "I'm trying to hit the tree, which is right beside me." And I was like, "Eddie." And I just get this like, he did whack me with a big lump of it first. And then he would hit the tree. And just the debris would be like sprinkling on my face. And I was like, "Oh my God." And then you would do something like, "What? Are you in yet? Did you do it?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's in now. In or out? In or out? What do you mean? Where?" And then you just storm off. I was like, "Get back." I was like, "Get back there right now." And then you're like, "No," and then you stormed off and you went into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then Eddie came to me and I told him I just needed this and explained to him. And he's like, "Okay, mummy, I think I'll try it again." So he was deciding he was going to have a good go. "I'm going to try again to stand beside you instead of right directly in front of this one thing." And you're already in the kitchen like, "No, that's it. I'm like, Colin, get outside. You have one chance to do this."
I spiraled out completely. I'd thrown my entire career down the drain in 2 minutes. I went, "This is the problem. This is the life we have. A 2 minute job is fucking impossible
you
right now."
You say to the person who's not a camera man, your actual wife and son is there in basically our house.
But I'm like, but if he wasn't there, it would have taken 2 seconds. But I was like, this is it. Like the simplest task, it takes a day. I have to start my day at fucking 9 o'clock when everyone's in bed and then do my work day because I can't fucking do anything and I can't do this job, so I'm quitting.
That was Colin.
I was like
storming
how
back
am I?
Up the field because
I was like,
Eddie kept
I was like
shouting.
I would have a more peaceful life if I had to tell my family I'm going to work at 9 to 5 and I just forgot about my shitty job whenever I come home at 5 until the next morning. It'd be way easier
as
me
if
trying
you
to,
forget you'd complain
me trying to do anything remotely creative for the people.
Right, and how did we get it done then in the end?
Well, you eventually got the hang of it.
Solid! I literally had to go, Colin, get back down that field right now. And I went, Eddie, do not move. For 30 seconds, don't move. And I was like, Colin, you stand down there and just do it. This is our only opportunity to do it. So I just had to shout at both of you to just concentrate and stop going nuts. Both of you going off the rails in separate occasions. And I'm the only one trying to make it work.
Yeah.
And that's you. That's it. I can't deal with this.
Yeah.
As you told me something 30 seconds before you're going to record it. And then shouted absolutely impossible to follow
not
instructions.
Impossible. I'd be like,
right, we're going to go in, like, back out, back in again, and slow back in and back out. Okay. But do it on the screen, but do that one on the top. Yeah. Which one? The tight, but then also the in one. What? What are you talking about, Colin? And then I would go, right, that's it in now. And you're like, in or out. What do you mean in? Do you mean in or do you mean wide?
You got to use film terminology. That's why they use it.
And I was like, I just said in or out. You're like, wide or tight.
You're like, I'm in. And I'm like, in what?
In what? I was like,
and by the way,
don't you shout at me.
We're shouting down a field with wind. So you're like, what?
Well, you were saying things. And I'm like, I cannot hear anything you're saying. You're so far away. It's honestly chaos.
You would be doing something to camera and then go, and I would go, what does that mean? And
you're like, meant I'm in. Like, it's in.
I'm in wide. I'm coming out tight in a minute.
Am I from the country, you say? Coming out tight.
Coming out tight.
You're going in wide? Yeah, that's all normal things for me.
But anyway, it's online now.
And, anyway, you know,
you can buy a jumper if you want.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? It's fun. Fun times. But we'll go collect our son here and hopefully he hasn't bitten a child's ear off or anything. And we'll go for a coffee. And that's it, guys. We're gently, it's a phased return for podcasting as well as it is school.
Hope you're all doing well. It's been nice. People still are like sending messages and we're having chats with people, you know, we're having good fun. But
Yeah, that's it. You're thanks, guys.
Anything else, Colin? Any messages for people? From a cool, calm, and collected man like yourself?
Just maximize your protein intake. And that should take care of, you know, all your needs, really.
You said you stopped eating sugar and your body's something sore.
Yeah. So. Shoulder was killing me from the boxing weeks ago. Lower back sort of sitting on my arse too long in the car. And then I stopped eating sugar for a week and it kind of all went away. I was out here doing fucking kettlebell step ups on the box and all, just
simple,
you know,
as that.
Like I was fucking Liver King.
Liver King?
Liver King. What about me going to Edinburgh and going to a place called Ting Tai and you're like, stop being racist. And I'm like, it is literally called Ting Tai.
I was like, Colin, say King.
It's not, it was Ting Tai.
Sure.
And we saw Brennan Reese in there and he walked in and straight away Aaron said, oh, I was with someone that you knew. Hold on, I find out what they're called. And then now I went, oh yeah, I was working with someone who worked with you, blah, blah, blah. And the guy was like, what is it with the accusations? Like he hadn't even said hello. It's very funny. No, we raided Ting Tai quite a bit. And that's probably why I've been able to shift such a monumental amount of weight. No Ting Tais.
The key is to put on a lot of weight. And then if you lose it, you're a winner.
You want dramatic, you know? Weight loss? Be dramatically heavy.
Be dramatic across the board. Okay.
Sweet. Right, we'll get out of here, folks. Cheers for listening. It's the phased return. Yeah. Will I call the episode phased return?
If you'd like to.
If I'd like to. Phased return. Thanks for joining me today, Maureen. Thank you. My tour does kick off on the 13th.
I would like a credit on all your things now as director of photography.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Director of your life.
I'm going to put a comment. Director life of it or fucking writer of it? Pain in my ass. You see, was that rock hard when you hit me?
No.
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. It was like hitting a fucking car tire.
Well.
Guys, ColinGettis.com for tour tickets. I'll be hitting up the domestic side of the tour this side of Christmas. So, for example, your Enniskillens, your Bangors, your Newton Abbeys. I'm doing two big shows at the Waterfront. The Friday is sold out. The Saturday is on sale.
What date are they?
22nd and 23rd of November. Would love to see you there.
I genuinely couldn't remember, actually.
It's the best venue for a punter to go to.
Yeah.
I've done all the gigs. Yeah. It's the only one I haven't done a big show in.
If anyone's wondering why you chose Waterfront, it was because we were like...
It's the nicest one to go to.
We're just that age now, aren't we? We're like, you just want a nice, you want a, there's a car park. Place.
Yes, it's tight. You will scrape your fucking alloys to
pieces.
Small
bar. You can just get a drink. You can enjoy
yourself.
Walk
across
that
little courtyard or whatever that is. You go in there, glass building. You go in, get a comfy seat. It's the best place to go and watch a gig, I think.
There'll be other venues you'll do eventually.
Of course,
too, again,
of course.
But you just decided to have something a bit more.
But yeah, that's all happening. And Dublin as well. Dublin is the Liberty Hall Theatre. And that is on the 3rd of December. So
I'd like to go
excited.
To that one. You said it's a cool venue, didn't you?
I did Vicar Street and then it had just went on sale. And then we did Liberty Hall for the podcast, the Bomb Squad. And I was like, this is cool as fuck.
I was like,
I want to do this instead. Yeah. So that's what we're doing. And then after Christmas, we'll be hitting the old England and whatnot in February or something like that. And yeah, cheers for listening, guys. And we'll be back when we're back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just have a lovely time.
A lovely time, guys. Be nice to yourselves. No. Yeah, we're going to go and collect our son from the prison that is primary school.
Education.
He's in now. That's it. 14 years on the trot now.
That's the only thing that makes me sad.
That's it. We'll be driving to school for the next 14 years. Oh, God.
Him complaining he's going to school, you complain you're fucking doing something else. Is it
now? I'm done complaining.
Nah.
I'm going to be...
No sugar, no complaining, has she?
No sugar, no complaining. Right. Cheers for listening to The Phased Return.
Cheers.
See you next time. Big kisses. Your hand's freezing.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's... fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.